Good morning, afternoon, and or evening, wherever or whenever you're listening to this. I'm Aiden Anderson, and this is Nerd Stuff, a podcast where a nerd and his friends sit here and talk about the nerdiest things. Welcome to my third episode of Nerd Stuff. Please welcome today's guest, Ryan DeBoer. Today we'll talk about some movie plots, some Dungeons & Dragons, and the card game he's made. Now let's get to it. Roll the music. Alright, let's get on to today's topics. But first, tell us about yourself, Ryan.
I'm Ryan DeBoer. I go to school with you, Aiden. But I enjoy playing League a lot, and also band and choir I like to focus on.
That's fun. What's your favorite movie?
Probably The Greatest Showman, followed closely by Big Hero 6.
So today we're going to start off by having you guess some poorly written movie plots.
All right.
I'm using the website boardpanda.com to get these. The first one is, a boy spends 7 years being a third wheel.
Is that it?
Yep.
All right. Harry Potter?
Yes.
Wow.
The second one, never mind. A guy that's alone in the forest kisses a dead body while seven other guys watch.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
That's it. Girl wakes up to a stranger on top of her in bed, but it's cool because he's hot.
I have no clue.
It's just about the plot of every Disney princess movie, but this one happened to be Sleeping Beauty.
All right.
Kid comes out of the closet.
Yet again, no clue.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, that was clever.
A girl has to pretend she's a man to be taken seriously.
Mulan.
Yep. Paranoid billionaire afraid of immigrant.
Well, the first paranoid rich person I could think of was Iron Man, but...
Ooh, close. Wrong universe, though.
So DC, I assume.
Yes.
I don't follow DC very much, so... I'm not sure. Batman?
That's part of the title.
I don't know the Batman movies. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It came out in 2016.
The Joker?
No, that came out in early 2020, or late 2019.
Then I have no clue.
Batman versus Superman.
I even saw that movie.
Depressed, widowed father teams up with the mentally challenged woman to find his disabled son.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah. And our last one, to tie us into our next segment, father reunites with long-lost son, wants him to take over the family business.
Ooh. Do you have any hints?
Well... It came in the... It was earlier in the list. It also had a similar one. Another way to explain the plot could be a talking frog convinces son to kill his dad.
Oh. I don't know.
Star Wars Episode 5. Yoda was the talking frog.
Yep. Figured that out now.
Alright, but now let's move on. You just recently watched the Star Wars movies over the COVID-19... pandemic quarantine, right?
Yeah. I really enjoyed watching them, actually.
Yeah, how is it that you hadn't watched them until this year?
I'm not really sure. I kept hearing a lot about them, but I never really had a way to watch them before. But Disney Plus had them all on there, and with all the free time I had, I figured I might as well watch them now. Better late than never.
Disney Plus, please sponsor me. But... Anyway, which happened to be your favorite?
At first, I really hated Episode 3, but now, after watching all of them, Episode 3 is probably my favorite.
Why would that be?
Well, I just thought it was wonderfully written, and there was also lots of... Well, it was the first time I had watched it, so I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, it does kind of, there's parts in there where they kind of take you by surprise the first time you watch it.
Yeah.
Like Anakin killing the younglings. Honestly, the best part of the entire movie.
Yep.
But honestly, that scene itself, it should be award-winning in its own.
Yeah, the end of the movie was just so good. I hated watching it, but
Yeah,
I could watch it again right now and I would love it. It was amazing.
the duel between Anakin and Obi-Wan is probably, along with the duel between Darth Maul and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in the first movie, are probably some of the best written, the best choreographed fight scenes in the whole franchise.
I agree with that. I also liked listening to the music when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan fought Darth Maul.
Oh, it was beautiful.
The Duel of Fates was amazing.
Duel of Fates is such a well-written song. Anything that John Williams write is amazing. There was a meme I saw the other day where it said something like nothing can be perfect, and then it says John Williams score, and then under it the meme of like, and I took that personally. John Williams writing the score of the Star Wars franchise, he definitely took perfection personally.
Yep, it was very well done.
So personally, my favorite movie is Attack of the Clones, and everyone says, Aiden, what's wrong with you? But just something about that movie is just it's beautiful. I don't know why. It's just one of those things where it's my favorite, and I don't know why.
I can understand that.
So, have you watched anything Star Wars before those movies, like the TV shows?
No. But I have just very recently started watching The Mandalorian.
Oh, did you watch the new episode?
Well, in all honesty, that is the only episode I've seen.
You didn't watch the first season?
Well, my family was watching the new episode, so I was just with them. So I saw that
Oh,
episode,
okay.
and that has convinced me to start watching the first season now.
Oh,
But
okay.
I haven't gotten to it yet.
So, spoiler warning then for the newest episode of The Mandalorian, which at the time of this recording was episode one of season two. What did you think of it?
I really, really enjoyed it. I was shocked at first when the two people in the bar didn't get into a fight. Sorry, I don't know their names, but well, one of them was the Mandalorian. But the
Mandalorian and I can't remember his name either, but the guy who stole Boba Fett's armor.
Yes.
Or he didn't steal it, he bought it
He
off some
bought it.
Jawas, but
But yeah, I was surprised that that situation actually got diffused, and the giant monster, which I also don't know what it's called,
the Krayt Dragon.
yeah, that thing was epic. I loved watching the fights, and at the end, I was very surprised when the Mandalorian didn't die when he went inside the Krayt Dragon.
Yeah, there's actually, I watched a theory video about it from, I believe, the YouTube channel New Rockstars, and they explained how Boba Fett survived, because at the end of The Mandalorian, people presume that the person who looked over the desert after Mando was driving away is Boba Fett. Because he's played by the same actor who played his father, Jango Fett, in Attack of the Clones, Temuera Morrison. And people also theorize he's been living among the Sand Raiders.
That would make sense.
Yeah, because he had a Sand Raider rifle and a Sand Raider gaffy stick on his back, and he was dressed in Sand Raider garb. Tusken Raider, not Sand Raider, that's my bad. But anyway, so he was eaten by the Sarlacc, Boba Fett was, in the sixth movie, or the third movie, however you look at it. But he was eaten after Han Solo stabbed him in the back by accident, actually. And he flew up and landed in the Sarlacc pit. And actually, the reason he didn't die then was because earlier in the movie, Jabba the Hutt explained how all the prisoners, Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, were going to be dumped into the Sarlacc and digested for 1,000 years. So, Boba Fett wasn't fully digested in the Sarlacc, and then the Sarlacc that was, or the Sarlacc pit that the Krayt Dragon had taken over is theorized to be the Sarlacc pit that Boba Fett was swallowed by. So, the Krayt Dragon eats the Sarlacc, dissolves it quickly. Boba Fett flies out unscathed, just like Mando did.
That makes a lot of sense.
Or is spit out, more likely. likely what happened is he was spit out. The Tusken Raiders took him in after they were performing their ceremonious feeding the Bantha. But it's theorized that he's just living among the Tusken Raiders right now, and who knows if we see if he'll take the Mandalorian armor back from Boba Fett, but... Or not Boba Fett, Mando.
Yeah.
So, also what might happen later in the season is Mando will confront Boba, and they will he'll learn about the Jedi as the Jedi were the reason that Boba Fett's an orphan.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll take a trip to Kamino, which is where all the clones were made, including Boba Fett, because he is a clone, technically.
Yep.
He just doesn't age as quickly as the other clones.
Why is that?
So the Kaminoans wanted to thank Jango Fett for being able to use his DNA to make all the clones, and he must have asked them for a son. So they cloned another one, but then took out the rapid aging process, and that's how we got Boba Fett.
All right.
Because if you remember, in the second movie, Attack of the Clones, Boba Fett was just a kid.
Yep.
And all the armor that Jango Fett was wearing, Boba Fett took, including his Slave One, which is the ship.
Yep.
So, have you started watching Season 1 of The Mandalorian?
Not yet. I plan on doing that very shortly.
I mean, we barely have any classes today. You might as well just do it now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our third segment. You recently started DMing a campaign. And what have you thought of it so far, your experience?
Well, at first, I really enjoyed it. It was fun to come up with all of the problems and then hear all the solutions. But as we kept going, I realized it was harder and harder to stay coming up with creative problems. And I felt like I started either repeating myself or not having enough. And so I don't know how to get around that quite yet, other than just spending a lot of time creating more.
Yeah, that definitely is hard if you only really plan for what you think they'll get through in a session. But normally, if I plan at all for a session, I plan for a lot more than I actually need.
Yeah, I'll try that next time. The last session we did, I had to end because I wasn't prepared for them moving on so quickly. But
yeah, I kind of noticed that you ended it quickly.
Yeah. What do you think about the campaign so far?
I've actually had a lot of fun. I really enjoy the character that I'm playing. He's a Air Genasi Storm Sorcerer, so I think it'd be a lot more fun once we get into bigger rooms for me to start flying around in the space.
Yeah. What do you think about how we started the campaign with a lack of equipment?
I think it's really interesting. I've done that once before in the very first campaign I was ever a part of. We started with absolutely nothing, and we wound up in a coliseum.
Oh.
And we had to fight our way out. We sadly only had a few sessions of that, but it was fun.
That sounds interesting. That reminds me of one of my first campaigns. Well, it wasn't really a campaign. It was more of a one-off, but we went into a coliseum and fought, and I ended up dying on purpose because I had to leave early, but I ran into a room of 100 teenagers, I believe, or maybe they were younger than that, but I tried to fight them all with just a dagger.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I think it was 107-year-olds.
Yeah, I ended up killing, 64 of them or something, but I was an 8-year-old rogue.
Yeah.
I think I was human, too, but...
Yeah, I think I was the one who DM'd that, because it was you and then two, a paladin and a barbarian. Yes.
But that was a fun one to start off my Dungeons and Dragons experience with.
Yeah, the first session, or the first thing you ever do really sticks in your head quite a bit.
Unfortunately, I had to start doing it over Discord and couldn't start in person, but we've gotten around that now, so it didn't ruin it for me.
Yeah. I've really missed playing Dungeons & Dragons in person. I'm glad that we've been able to safely do it with masks and everything and social distancing.
Do you plan on starting a campaign anytime soon, or would you rather just play the game?
It's actually been quite a while since I've played. Our person who was our like permanent DM graduated and went off to college, I think last year. So we've been scrambling to find someone to DM for us regularly. And then COVID hit, so we didn't get to play as much.
DMing is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it really is. My first experience was really bad. I actually talked about it in the last episode, which reminds me, I messed up in the last episode. Talon and I were telling a story about how the rat pyramid or the badger pyramid came through one of my character's hometowns, and I said that it was me that gave money to a homeless person, but really, Talon and I both forgot. It was actually our friend Jacob Weber's character, Dane Dirkoff of the Dirkoff clan, who, yeah, we know, who gave this homeless man the money and cried after he was eaten by the Badger Pyramid.
That still sounds terrifying.
Yeah, he was a paladin, I believe. A very punny paladin. He always had a one-liner after he had slain an enemy.
That's perfect.
It wasn't perfect.
I wish I was there to hear all those.
Maybe I'll have him on a later episode and he can talk about it. I do have plenty of one-shots, though. I don't like DMing full campaigns, but I can do one-shots.
Yeah, I remember I did a one shot with you where we got 100 magic wands and we just went out to the forest and started casting them randomly.
Oh yeah, I believe I got that idea from Talon actually, and I think he got it off of Reddit. But yeah, I DM'd that once and it was pretty fun. It was more of a chill, relaxed thing.
Yeah.
People wanted to play, so I was like, hey, I could do this.
Yeah, I remember I died by casting a spell. Like, I poked somebody with a wand, and it created, like, a huge block of ice that encased me. And that did not end very well, as you could imagine.
Being frozen in ice doesn't leave you long. Unless you're Captain America, then you can do it for about 100 years.
Yeah, who knows? He maybe could have done it more.
What do you think of the players that are in your campaign? Do you get along with them?
Yeah, for the most part. I think it's kind of a large group for my first time DMing because there's six of you, I believe.
Yeah, six is quite a bit. Normally the regular party size is about four.
There might only be five. There's only five of you, isn't there? No, there is six. There is six.
Let's see. Yeah, we have a barbarian, a ranger, a monk, a rogue,
Yes.
a sorcerer, and a wizard. So yeah, six of us.
Well, one of the players is my brother. My younger brother, so every once in a while that can get in the way, but for the most part, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I've DM'd for my little brother. He was 8 at the time, so it's a little rough there. But it's still fun.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun. I actually enjoy doing it with him because I understand how he thinks, so I can play around that easily and either trick him or convince him to do things without him knowing.
Yeah, that's a big part of DMing is knowing how your players think, so you can come up with solutions based off that.
Yeah. That's also kind of one of the things I struggle with. I often have plans set out in my head, and when the players don't follow those plans, which they would have no clue what the plans are, I kind of struggle coming up with ways to get them to do what I want when in reality I shouldn't make them do what I want. It's their experience.
That's a hard thing to learn as a DM, though, right away, is it's the you can't railroad your characters.
Yeah.
That's what you can't force them to do it. You have to come up with more creative solutions of getting around problems.
Yep. Also, I in my last session, I had this magical fireplace where any living creature thrown into it would instantly be killed, and I was not planning on one of our members of the party jumping into the fireplace right away. So I would kind of scrambled there to come up with a way to not kill him.
Yeah, I figured you texted me about it, which normally phones shouldn't be at the D&D table, but that was something where you needed advice and didn't want to ask out loud and have someone freak out.
Yeah. I figured that killing somebody instantly with no reason would not end well, so I didn't.
Yeah,
But
it wouldn't have ended well at all. But I think what didn't help your situation is you had a part earlier where we had to crawl into a stove.
yeah.
We had to crawl into an oven to reach a secret passage.
So I understand why you would jump into the furnace. Or not furnace, fireplace. That makes sense to me now. I just don't know why I'd never thought of it before.
Yeah, but then we had to throw gold into it for some reason, but my character got a little addicted to it. He might have liked it a little too much.
I'm not sure how much gold you guys got left with, but you did put quite a bit in there.
I think you took all of our gold, if I'm being completely honest.
I believe you guys have a few silver and copper pieces laying around, spread out between you guys, but all of your gold, I believe, has been taken, which
Yeah.
I purposely put a certain amount of gold on the level so that you would have enough.
Yeah, so I've been making this podcast through the ELP class, and you're also in that class, and you made a card game. Tell us about it.
So I just finished making this card game. It's called Quote It. It's a party game that's very relaxed setback. It's you don't have to be like super hyped up, although it is a lot of fun.
It is. We played it twice. I won the first round and
Yeah.
should have won the second
Yeah,
round.
you absolutely dominated the first time we played. It's the rules are pretty simple, but it's really quite a lot of fun. So, basically all it is somebody reads a quote that has a fill in the blank in it, and all the other players get to fill in the blank however they want. And then the person who read the quote gets to choose the funniest answer or best answer. It's not all about accuracy. In fact, usually if you actually answer the quote, it's not that funny and doesn't win.
Right, yeah, we had people who did try to finish the quote and they lost just about every time.
Yeah, but some of the funniest answers are the longest, most specific answers when you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I think that's how I won the first round, was just the very specific, really long ones.
Yeah.
But then everyone knew they were mine because I was always the last person to turn them in.
But for the most part, it doesn't matter who answered it. I believe most of the people who judged them were pretty unbiased
Yeah.
because yours were easily the funniest in that game.
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm much of a comedian, but I mean, if it was funny, it's funny.
Yeah, those answers were pretty good.
Yeah, so you're working on a second game now, right?
Yeah, this one is also going to be a card game, but it's not going to be like a party-based game like Quote It was. This one's going to be a medieval strategy game, very similar to the video game Town of Salem. I haven't gotten very much farther than just a few weeks of brainstorming, which sounds like a lot, but in reality, not that much. All I've really gotten is I know there's going to be a bunch of roles, such as the king, the prince, knight, dark knight, etc., etc. Basic medieval people. And nobody's going to know who each other is, but you're trying to either survive or kill certain people, or some people just have random tasks or goals to win the game. And you're going to have like a hand of cards, and you're going to get to choose to play one of them. And nobody's going to know what you play, but yeah, it's just going to be very interesting. And I haven't quite figured everything out yet, but I'm on my way.
Yeah. So when you brainstorm these games, what do you think about when you're coming up with them?
Usually I think about things like, what do I want the game to be about? What do I want it to be like? Do I want it to be everybody working together or everybody working against each other or like a team game? I want to think, do I want everybody to have their own character or everybody to be the same? For this game specifically, I knew I wanted to do a medieval strategy game, but I couldn't come up with it took me a long time to come up with a creative way to play the game. So I think I struck gold when I finally thought of giving everybody a role privately. Like, they'll just get a card dealt out randomly that will tell them who they are. And then they'll turn their cards in to play them, but nobody will know who played what. So I feel like that is the answer I was looking for. So I just, my brain was constantly searching for solutions to how I wanted them to do what I wanted them to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds similar to the like the game that you're making now. It sounds similar to like Avalon that we played at your house one day.
Yeah, it is kind of like Avalon. Avalon was one of the games that helped me inspire me for this, because like I wanted a game where you didn't know who was what they were, but it's also a little bit different from Avalon because they're not going to be you're not going to win by just completing a mission where you just have to fail or succeed. There's going to be actual tasks or actions that people can do. So it's going to be kind of like Avalon mixed with Town of Salem.
Yeah, both are really fun games.
Mm-hmm. But every game is going to be different. You're never going to play the same like match twice.
So that's about all we have planned for today. Thank you for coming on and talking with me for this time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure.
You've been asking since about episode one, and I
if I recall, you were the one who asked me.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. We're always looking for more fun guests, so if you do want to be a guest, go to my website, which you can find it on my Instagram account, or I believe it should be in the anywhere you can find my podcast. If not, personally email me or something and I will give you the link, and then there you can if you scroll down to the bottom of the website, there's a place where you can send me an email and you can talk to me about being a guest. I'm always looking for new people, and anyone can be a guest, you know. And if you don't want to be in person because you're not comfortable with it, I mean, the past two guests that I've had, we've been each sitting in our own home talking over Discord, so we can make things work.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be a guest on this, but more importantly, I think if there's a sponsor out there, I think this is a great podcast for you to invest in.
Yeah, man, we're really just reaching for these sponsors, but yeah. All right, so I'm glad you had fun. I had fun. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.